Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hey. Welcome to it. It's Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, Colton producing and engineering. Busy show. We'll get to it. Some Husker football to get into, of course. Some additional thoughts on that quarterback race, the backup quarterback race. The Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman. We'll talk college football and NFL with us in an hour. Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine. Get his thoughts on the week of camp in hour two. And we're 20 minutes away. Yeah, 20 minutes away from head coach of Nebraska Wrestling, Mark Manning, joining us. We got a gig at Vega tonight down in the rail yard if you're in Lincoln. And if you're not in Lincoln, guess what? Find your way here. A send-off party Coach Manning wants to tell you about for Jordan Burroughs. And just a great get-together. So we'll talk a little wrestling with Coach Manning. I don't want to get on any bad side. We'll talk wrestling with Coach Manning. He's an awesome dude and can't wait to spend a few minutes with him. So that is this hour. We'll get into Ezekiel Elliott as well. That's a mess. You want a heavy topic on a Friday? Here you go. Let's talk domestic violence. So we'll break down the Ezekiel Elliott situation shortly. You can join us here on Hail Varsity, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. You can tap the line, Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House lets you do that. Want to tell you about how the Board of Regents meeting went. Since when do you care about meetings? Well, I can think back 6 years in June when you jumped to the Big Ten. But more news here from the Board of Regents. And it's not just about the Adidas gear. Nebraska will be swimming in here the next several years. It also has to do with some scheduling thoughts and Friday Night Lights. And Nebraska may be one and done here when it comes to this Friday night BS of playing college football. But here's what to tell you when it comes to meetings in the Board of Regents. The Board of Regents approving the 11-year, $128 million contract extension for Nebraska. And they did so unanimously. And good stuff here by Derek Peterson, Hail Varsity, with these notes on this. According to iCourse, the Memorial Stadium also will be opened up and made available to high schools on Friday nights as needed. How's that grab you? Moving the venue from Seacrest, which is fun. I love doing games there. But you have a Friday night showdown between a major power in Lincoln and in Omaha. Or maybe, yeah, you have that Aurora McCook battle that happens to start the year. I'm not sure how you feel as a high school fan about that. If you're a player, you'd be like, that'd be awesome. You go play at Memorial Stadium. Prep in Millard North, let's go arm wrestle at the 50. Southeast and Southwest, let's touch gloves at the 50, Memorial Stadium. I don't know if that is, it's a nice offer. Will anyone take up iCoursed on Memorial Stadium being opened up and made available to high schools on Friday nights as needed? It'd be kind of cool. I mean, you get to play the state championship game there. More news here from the Board of Regents. Nebraska also announced that it does not expect to host any Friday night Big Ten games in the future, despite the effort from the conference to turn Fridays into football Fridays for the Big Ten. Nebraska, good for you. I know it's been a while since you've won something major, but you're still a blue blood top 15 program. There's still so much cachet attached to your name and brand. And if Northwestern's going to say no, and Michigan's going to say no, and Penn State's going to say no, and Ohio State's going to say no, you have no obligation to jack with Friday Night Football. And you went with the logistics card, which is true. Try parking on Saturday if you don't have a sweet spot. Or your brother-in-law doesn't have the old tailgate spot by Archie the Woolly Mammoth. Okay? You know you got to plan this thing out. And good luck planning a Friday night 6 p.m. kickoff between Omaha and Lincoln traffic and Central Nebraska traffic and Western Nebraska traffic. It's the third largest city for a reason, because Nebraska comes to watch Nebraska. So to go the logistics route, it's already a nightmare, and this thing's planned out and been handled for 50 years when it comes to sellouts and traffic and police and all of that. But to do it on a Friday night, on a weeknight, no thank you. And Nebraska said as much. Chancellor Roddy Green put it to bed, quoting him, "We've been looking at the logistics of this and what it would take to host a Friday night game. It's very difficult for us to conceive doing that on our campus. We've been talking with the conference, and it's our expectation that we will not play any home football games on Friday here in Lincoln. And we don't stop there. If you've got the inch, go for the mile." Okay, so Nebraska won't host any Friday night football games. How about Nebraska also kind of doubling down with their edict? Nebraska also not expected to participate in any more Friday night games moving forward. So they'll do the Illini Carnival Act September 29th, and that is it. We're presuming, again from Chancellor Green, we wouldn't have another one during this six-year window of time. You can't make us, you're not paying us, and no one wants to watch Illinois. Maybe some folks want to watch us. But we're not going to do a freak show act on Friday night and pray that there are numbers. See ya. Give us reason. Give us some incentive. Oh, there are none. Because the kids we want watching us are playing. All right. Thanks. You know, high five Riley on this. You see Coach Riley riding his bike around. Go give Riley a hug and say what's up. I mean, don't bother the guy, but, you know, in your mind. Because what he said at Big Ten Media Days, "I like Saturdays for college football." You can paint it as blue as you want in your mind, but killing with kindness. "Oh, I just, you know, I think Saturdays are good for college football." Hammer, nail, done. Good for Nebraska moving out of this. And maybe the Big Ten will backpedal here, like the leaders and legends, whatever the hell that was. Let's talk quarterbacks. Yesterday we jumped into the fact that Coach Langsdorf just wasn't clear on where the number two spot was. Who's your leader at number two? Do you have a clear number two? And no is the answer right now. You're into week two of camp. There's still plenty of time. How do you process those comments on the spot at backing up Tanner Lee?
Not totally clear. I think those guys, being as young as they are, they make rookie mistakes. You know, they've really got a lot of similar reps, and it's very close that way. So it's not clear cut. They both have had kind of their days. They've both had good days, and then they've had some freshman blunders. So we just got to keep giving them work. But I like where they're at. I just, you know, they have to be a little bit more consistent day to day.
So that's a public message to his first four-star quarterback commit, Patrick O'Brien. West Coast guy. This is the guy who started it, as in, all right, if you're going to run the West Coast passing offense, you need a stud from out west or wherever to come in here. And P.O.B. was that guy. POB's got a lot of talent, had a number of impressive stats in high school. He enrolled early. He's with Steve Calhoun. We love Steve. There are all things set up here to have a successful next level career for Patrick O'Brien. And from a physical tool standpoint, the guy has got the size and he's got the arm. He's incredible. He's got it. But it takes more than just physical tools. And right now, you just heard Langsdorf. That was from yesterday. Not to beat a dead horse on who's number two at quarterback, but forgive me, we have 22 days till kickoff. We spent some time shooting the breeze about, you know, if your number one goes down, who do you want? We discussed that yesterday. And right now, do you have some things that O'Brien does better than Jebbia, or some skills that Jebbia is lacking to O'Brien? And there are some things that Jebbia has over POB, it looks like, through this point in time of fall camp. So what do we have here? Do you have a true number two spot open? Is Nebraska considering not redshirting Tristan Jebbia because he is better and performing better than Patrick O'Brien? He has caught him. He has surpassed him. They're even. It didn't get that specific, but is that what we're talking about? Is that the conversation we're having? And if you're Nebraska, push comes to shove, you need to win football games, and you'll have to find a way to win football games if you don't have your number one. That's just life. Season doesn't go on hold if your top quarterback goes down and the top prospect in the NFL in 18 or 19, according to the Senior Bowl rep that was on hand, if he goes down, no one will weep for you. You might have a little bit of understanding to the folks that paint their face red and wear red, but still, move on, deal with it, win football games. And if Nebraska's best chance to win moving forward is Jebbia over O'Brien, as we talk about it here in week two of fall camp, not week two of the season, then you go with it. Then you don't redshirt the guy. Then you don't save him because it's win now. But how big's the difference? And I think it comes down to processing and confidence, and I think it comes down to just familiarity, and I think there's a portion of it, too, that comes down to guys are kind of drawn to Jebbia, and they see him or know that he is full dive into the playbook, understanding, and he just eats and sleeps football. Not that O'Brien hasn't put the work in or doesn't get it or isn't talented. No, he is. But is he as committed or as far along? And if you're Langsdorf, your expectation for this quarterback with the talent that you scouted and offered is to be as good or better when it comes to knowing the system and then making the plays and then making the right decisions. Now, you're a quarterback, so you are extremely dependent on the other 10 guys. And in the scrimmage yesterday, Jebbia had 3 points out of a drive. Lee had 3 points out of a drive. And POB went 0 for 4. That's just one little window that shouldn't damn him from winning the job as the number two. We talked about how close the race was between Lee and O'Brien this spring. Was it? No? Maybe? I don't know. Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't look like it. So what you have here is a message. POB, you're still good. Keep grinding. Put the extra time in. Make some plays. Don't be hesitant. No pressure. Jebbia, you're doing well. You get it. This is kind of fitting you like a glove offensively. We know you don't look super old. We're going to take a shot. The Schmidt drinking game. Every time I talk about Jebbia's age, take a shot. Don't do it, please. But Jebbia's, it's through Jebbia's work an understanding and execution that he's been able to close this gap or pull even. And if push comes to shove and you've got to go win football games without Tanner Lee, you don't have to redshirt Jebbia to save him, because the point we're talking about here is it sounds and it looks like he may not need the year of grooming. It's not ideal, but maybe he's far enough along to gain that confidence in the coaches. Also, this is a perception issue to talk about in a good way for Nebraska. If you're that good and that dedicated at quarterback and you're going to enroll early and spend every waking second studying film and you get it and guys are following you because you're a good leader and communicator, you don't have to redshirt. And future quarterbacks, i.e. who's ever next in 2019, will see that. And every job is open. Every position is open if the guy in front of you isn't doing enough to keep it. Again, competition. You want great players. Great players wanted. And keep that job. Speaking of great, how about a great wrestling coach? Mark Manning, next on Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
1 hour from now, we will run down Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, talk about the quarterback battle at the number two spot. Some camp thoughts. The pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, NBC Sports, in less than an hour. We welcome in tremendous coach with Nebraska Wrestling. Mark Manning is with us. Coach Manning, thanks for a few minutes. How you doing?
Doing great, Chris. Doing great. Appreciate you having us on. We're doing well.
You picked a nice, perfect day, man, to go send Jordan and James off to France. I tell you what. Wow, what a you planned this, didn't you, weather-wise?
Yeah, we talked to the good Lord and made him sure he was on board.
That is awesome. Well, a few minutes here with Mark Manning, and we're going to talk with Coach Manning. We'll get caught up on Nebraska wrestling, but two wrestlers very special to him and special to Nebraska fans, Jordan Burroughs, of course, and James Green. They are off to Paris as they'll head to the World Championships August 26th. Vega, down in the rail yard in Lincoln, is having a send-off party, Coach. And give us a little background, what's going on at Vega tonight for Jordan and for James, and we'll get into the championships here in a minute, but tell us about the event tonight.
Yeah, so we're going to have a send-off for James and Jordan. You know, obviously we were super proud of these two guys making the world team. And it's their opportunity to really shine in the world, and their quest to be world champions this year. And so we're going to have a send-off party at the Vega, like you mentioned, down in the rail yard. And we've had it down there before. It's just going to be we're going to have a pep band that's going to join us down there. Some special guests going to show up and talk. We're going to get James and Jordan up there speaking a little bit, and really our way to have Nebraska wrestling and Husker fans to come and join us and wish these guys the best of luck.
No, absolutely. Mark Manning's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Jordan Burroughs, James Green, off to Paris for the World Championships August 26th. And the World Championships go from the 21st through the 26th. But you know, send two Huskers, two champions out the right way. Can do so at Vega. 6-9 tonight in the rail yard. Now, not only fun and special messages and some camaraderie, Coach, but also you have silent auction going on, some Husker wrestling gear, and, of course, some training center merchandise, correct?
Yeah, and we have a lot of really neat posters, a lot of stuff that's autographed by the world team this year. And James and Jordan both have, you know, singlets framed, some really cool USA gear that's, autographed by the world team and both by James and Jordan, and some personal items they have. It's just really great, unique memorabilia that's that'll be for sale down there, and it'll be, you know, it'll be a great evening.
Coach, kind of preview the World Championships for us. I know Jordan's wrestling the 26th, and I think James does as well. And yes. What's for folks that want Nebraska to do well and cheer on wrestling, but maybe aren't as locked into it? Kind of explain the championships. I mean, it's self-explanatory, World Championships. But what's ahead for these guys? They've performed well there, obviously, before. But what is 2017? What's the setup like for them? What hurdles are they likely to face?
Well, they both, both these guys will have a lot of tough competition. Yeah. There'll be 46 to 48 guys maybe at their weight class. And so there's wrestlers from all over the world. And you don't have to qualify for the World Championships. That's the difference between the Olympics and the World Championships. So there could be 46, 48 guys at your weight class. They do very little separation for world ranking. So they separate the top four world ranking, and then basically you weigh in, you draw your number, and that's where you are on the bracket. And then, you know, you'll wrestle maybe five, maybe six times in one day, and they'll start in the morning that morning at 9. By about 3, they'll have the finalist and the medalist. And then they'll have the medal round at 6 that night. So both James and Jordan, along with two other really great guys, Zane Rutherford, national champ at Penn State. He made his first world team. He's a beast. And then Kyle Schneider, defending world and Olympic champion, wrestles that day too. So USA, Team USA could have a big day come August 26th. And James and Jordan are part of that. And they've really prepared well. We just finished up practice today, and they're ready to go. So they'll head over. We actually leave this weekend for Germany. We train over there for about a week, get acclimated. 8-hour time difference between, you know, America and France. So they'll get acclimated and then go into Paris, and then World Championships will start. And then when their day comes, they got to perform.
Well, and they're used to performing, and they are extremely talented at what they do. Jordan Burroughs, James Green, a send-off party tonight at Vegas, 6 to 9 in the Rail Yard. Coach Mark Manning, Husker Wrestling, with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, what country, there's several very talented countries that have great athletes and phenomenal wrestlers, and the U.S. is kind of in a class by themselves with the program and the talent and the hardware that the United States has been able to handle. But what country in the championships, I guess, is a rival or the one that will contend and be toughest to defeat?
Yeah, great question, Chris. Russia is always tough. Those guys, they're you know, it's a big sport in Russia for them. Iran is also another country that they just keep producing great wrestlers. And so that's a priority for Iran, Turkey, Azerbaijan. Some of the republics of Russia or the old Soviet Union, you know, Ukraine, Moldova, obviously Azerbaijan, they're very strong, and they're very – They put a lot of resources in their sport, and so you know, there's a lot of Turkmenistan and Kyrgyzstan, and I mean, it's just a number of those republics that have great wrestlers come from those regions, and you know, but there'll be, you know, countries obviously represented from all over, and there'll be. You know, tough guys. Cuba always have great wrestlers, and so it'll be a challenge, and it's just about really just taking one match at a time, and you never know who's on the other side of the bracket. So there's a lot of unknown, so it's really just about your preparation and then just go to work that day.
Mark Manning's with us, Husker Wrestling, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I know season kicks off end of October, but tell me how you're feeling about the 2017 season for Nebraska.
We're really looking forward to it. We're going to have a lot of, you know, we really have one senior back in Colton McChrystal, and then we have a lot of redshirt freshmen, redshirt sophomores that are that'll be in our lineup. And really, we feel that we've really recruited well. So we'll see how that plays out in this group. But I'm really, really happy with how these guys have really developed over the spring and summer. And, you know, obviously we'll get better once the school year starts. And, you know, it's going to be a fun year. I think we have a lot of things to prove, but these guys are really ready to step up and show what they're made of. So it's going to be a really exciting year, I believe. And we're all anxious to get it started.
Coach, last thought when it comes to the topic of conversation. We were chatting about it to start the show off when it comes to, you know, Nebraska football and spots still up for grabs and guys making runs. Yeah. How do you handle your kids and your wrestlers with the competition? Obviously, you preach it, you want it, but it's delicate. There's a delicate balance, isn't there, as the head coach with getting the best out of your guys, but making sure everyone understands the decisions you go with when it comes to starting and who gets the nod.
Yeah, it's all about creating that competition, and I think we try to really make it competitive, mm-hmm. by how we recruit, and so some guys shy away from that when you're on the recruiting trail. They feel, well, you recruited so and so 2 years ago, and so you really want to build up, you know, as much talent you can in the room. But the right talent, guys that are going to work for it and want to earn it. And so, you know, we see it in the room every day. And so really the cream rises to the top, the old phrase goes. And, mm-hmm. and you know, obviously we have wrestle-offs and, you know, different practice matches. But really we want to see who, when the lights come on, they come on. And so some guys are really good in the room, but not as good when the match is 7 minutes long and you're in front of the lights. So, you got to find those things out. And some guys, it's just maturity, yeah. You know, it's some, and, you know, guys get better as they get older because they mature, and that's the nature of the business. Some guys are, you know, just, they're made for it and they got that it factor and they got, you know, they're ready to go right out of the gate. They don't need a red shirt. They don't think about being a red shirt. And so you really want to, this really starts with recruiting and really finding out the intangibles. And so, but you want to try to test them, you know, every week. You want to test their confidence, their competitiveness, and keep developing that and continuous throughout the season. But, injuries are always a big part of that. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, just like in football, it's a physical sport. Our sport's physical. But, you know, I saw a volleyball girl the other day, and she had, you know, a boot on. She's, oh, I'll be fine. You know, so it's the more you practice and, you know, your body gets beat up. So, you know, you gotta be smart as a coach, mm-hmm. to back off. Sure. At certain times, too, you know.
Mark Manning is with us, Husker Wrestling. Go see Coach Manning, Jordan Burroughs, James Green at Vega tonight, 6-9. A send-off party in the rail yard back to the World Championships for Jordan and James and Coach. Coach, we'll catch up again. Thanks for thinking of us, and we'll spend some time as we get closer to wrestling. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Chris. You guys do a great job. Go Huskers.
Take care. There he is, Mark Manning, wrestling, Nebraska, and the send-off party out of Vega tonight in the rail yard, 6-9. Coach Manning's awesome. That was fun. I was getting fired up about the competition. Pretty nice. We will talk Zeke Elliott. That is next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Mark Manning, Nebraska Wrestling, for giving us a few minutes and their send-off party for James and Jordan Vega tonight at 6. Coming up, Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. In 25 minutes, Brandon Vogel, before we say goodbye, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. On Twitter at Schmidt_radio or at Hail Varsity. or can email me, chris@halevarsity.com. The news of the day nationally, Ezekiel Elliott, or Zeke, Dallas Cowboys standout running back. Remember watching him smoke folks at Ohio State. Great rookie season. He got popped 6 games by the NFL for the personal conduct policy. And there is immense shock with this. Not that Zeke's past is squeaky clean, but how often do you see or hear an owner just 1 weekend ago during his Hall of Fame weekend, the same weekend during his 37-minute speech he spent 4 minutes on praising Roger Goodell? How often do you see an owner go public with, well, there's been a lot of investigation into Zeke. I don't think they'll find anything. I do not believe he will be suspended. That keeps ringing in my ears from Jerry Jones last weekend. And then what happens? The hammer dropped by Roger Goodell. 6 games. Have fun. I mean, Vegas has pulled Cowboys games, the first 6. So what really went on here? Adam Schefter, because Adam Schefter has a bat phone for every instance from every team, cut 5 here, kind of breaks the news as he always does, and he'll lay it out. And we'll talk about it here with Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott has been suspended for the first 6 games of the season. Now, he has 3 days to appeal that suspension. The NFL must hear the case within 10 days, but Ezekiel Elliott has been suspended 6 games to open the season for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy.
That's the what. Here's the why. Here is Shefty on that policy, and we'll dive into the nuts and bolts as to charges against Zeke. Maybe you've read or seen about it, but some thoughts on that here shortly.
The league does not have to lean on legal authorities or a legal decision to make its own decision. And in this particular case, it didn't. It has suspended Ezekiel Elliott 6 games in a decision that is going to have enormous ramifications on and off the field.
So it's a message to players around the league. Don't be an idiot, or don't be considered to be an idiot when it comes to spousal or domestic issues. Please, for the love of God, don't touch or mistreat women. Thank you, NFL, for saying that. But you are so worried about perception. And what happens? You pop Roethlisberger for 6 games back in 2010. Ray Rice and Josh Brown get a game or two until things blew up, and then you had to save face. And now you're hammering Zeke. Either they are making an example out of Ezekiel Elliott with the most powerful franchise and owner so that they can't be questioned. If you do it to the top dog, the pups aren't going to complain or will have no leg to stand on. Or they have a lot of evidence and issues with Ezekiel Elliott. What do we know about Ezekiel Elliott? Ran for 600 yards, 15 touchdowns, another shy of 400 receiving. Behind that offensive line, you watched him at Ohio State carve up Bama. You know this guy is a fantastic and incredible running back. What do you know about Ezekiel Elliott off the field? How much smoke is there with domestic issues with him? How much has been covered up? Has anything been covered up? We don't know. We know that he didn't miss any time at Ohio State, ever. We also know Maurice Claret never missed any time at Ohio State, ever. So here is the accusation at hand that led Goodell to having a panel of folks a four-person panel, evaluate the evidence, and make the call. He was going to follow their advice. The result of this investigation, and it started a year ago, this is an ex-girlfriend accusing Elliot of domestic violence in Columbus. The Columbus City Attorney's Office announced in September that it did not and would not pursue charges against Elliot because of, quote, conflicting and inconsistent information. The NFL now has the power and exercise that power to penalize a player even without legal charges. So the cops in Columbus didn't think there was enough to go on, which means they didn't think they could win a case if they were going to bring a case against Ezekiel Elliott. That wasn't good enough for the NFL. The NFL can have their own sort of kangaroo court in this. Zeke will appeal. And does that six games get knocked down to three? If it's upheld financially here, Zeke's going to lose base salary of $560,000. It'll also start the clock ticking here on what can be voided and wiped away from his signing bonus and guarantees. If he is found guilty and this is upheld, Zeke's salary is set to go like this. From 2017 through 19, $1.58 million, $2.72 million, and $3.85 million. He'd lose that base salary I just told you about, plus guarantees to that $24.96 million deal. Those guarantees. You ask an NFL player about guaranteed money, since there is such little amount of the old piece of pie that is guaranteed. That'll be voided if this is upheld. His signing bonus of $16.35 million in deferred installments that was paid out in, as late as March. But once he misses games, he'll have to pay back that signing bonus. For each missed game, Zeke's going to have to repay that guaranteed money pot, $240,000 for each missed game. We're not even to the field yet, and the effect this has on Dak Prescott, Dez, a 13-3 team that was poised to put a run together Super Bowl-wise. The NFL said this. There's been domestic violence allegations from February 2016, July 2016, and then the peep show at St. Patrick's Day with the T-shirt and the gal. You've got a pattern of behavior. There's three incidents within a span of 5 days in July where there are medical documents, records of harm to this woman. Did Zeke do them?
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
10 minutes away, it's Bill Dolman, NBC Sports. The Pride of Fairbury, thoughts on Nebraska, thoughts on the NFL. Brandon Vogel going to be with us. Here's what I think. The last thought on Zeke Elliott and his situation. I think there are those who think he is just a crazy psycho. And there's so much protection going on that you don't know who the true Zeke is. And I think there's an instance where, yeah, the medical evidence doesn't lie. Did all of her injuries come from him is my question. I would say some probably did based on the facts. Can you prove all of them did? No. So is he a violent hothead paired with a person that is in there to try and leverage him and exploit him? I think the answer is yes to a lot of it. But you don't put hands on a woman ever. Ever. No excuse. And if one incident of him putting hands on her is true, then Why are we whining about six games? Does it need to happen more than once to equal six? Hasn't before. You're just trying to clean up and look all nice, NFL. You haven't given a damn before. You do now. You're correcting past mistakes when it comes to judgments. It's a mess, man, because you have text messages, dozens of witnesses, the accuser, medical experts, legal experts. And how much of the evidence was persuasive that Elliot engaged in physical violence? And the folks who made the decision for the league saw, yeah, three incidents that caused injuries to a woman in the span of 5 days. Photo evidence of these injuries. There's also alternative theories that, yeah, they might hold up from a law standpoint, but common sense. So we'll see if Zeke can figure it out. Stop hanging around. The other thing that's out there too now is what he is doing per ESPN.com. And that is the guy's clubbing it way too much. The guy's getting caught up in the lifestyle too much. The guy's getting caught up in the ego too much. And he's running amok. Money, fame, leading rusher. Because they don't love football players in Dallas or anything. They didn't all pool their money for a gated community White House party pad. Guys worked their whole life and retired to buy a $1 million home. This is our weekend place to go kick it. Oh, that? No, that's... We didn't spill the infield chalk line. No, that isn't chalk. Bill Dolman's coming up. NBC Sports, Hail Varsity continues Hour 2.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2, it is Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Great to be with you. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone is producing engineering. Brandon Vogel is 25 minutes away. We head out west, the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, former host of the Tom Osborne Show, at Bill Dolman on Twitter, the one and only Bill Dolman with us, as he is on Fridays, and we're working on, we'll get Colton here to find some of that that traditional bed music we play Bill. It's his walk-up music. It's from the 70s. Billy D, how are you, sir?
Well, quite frankly, I'm really tired, and you're keeping me up by doing this, but for you, why not?
Why are you tired, Bill? Lay it out there.
Well, as you may or may not know, you should know, the World Track and Field Championships are going on in London, and I've been calling weekend preliminaries, and my call times have been around 1 a.m., and we go on the air at 3 Mountain Time. So my bedtime is typically sometime around, well, right about now.
When do you have to be back up?
Well, got to be in work by 1, so, you know, it's not exactly the easiest assignment that I've had, but it's fun.
You'll be all right. I mean, we'll get you out of here by then. Is that all right?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll start taking calls and donations, make it a pledge drive.
I like it. Well, I got to ask you, man, and I've been, since this came out, I've been anxious to talk to you. I'm always anxious to talk to you, but specifically about Steve Peterson and author Steve Peterson. I was trying to figure out how the back cover picture was going to look. Are we going turtleneck? Are we going corduroy sport coat? Are we going blazer? Are we going suit? What's your reaction to author Steve Peterson?
Is it a coloring book?
No. It's fiction.
Is it one of those...
Lost. It's fiction and Lost in Ambition's those, the title.
What's the title?
Lost in Ambition.
How about just Lost?
Copyright.
Is it one of those puzzle books?
No.
Like, you know, with all the jumble letters that you look at it, and the problem is there's just no discernible solution.
Lost in Ambitions, a story of a young college football coach that compromises his morals, his family, and his upbringing to raise up the coaching profession. It's a paperback. You can get it on Amazon.
Okay. Well, I can't. I'm not going to get it on Amazon. But good on him if that's it, you know. Okay. I would think that it's, you know, probably rhymes like the Cat in the Hat, but, you know, whatever.
Seriously, you got to have a reaction to this. I mean,
he's got a lot of time on his hands. There aren't too many more athletic programs to go out there to destroy. So I guess this is the next thing. I'm a little surprised that he just didn't write a book about just what totally went wrong. I mean, why not do that? I mean, your legacy in your home state is disastrous, and you've left a wake of destruction at Pitt. Why not? Why not try to at least set the record straight and let people, you know, debate that a little bit? I mean, I might actually be interested. But no, I wouldn't be that much. But I'm just, why not? Why not do something that says, here's what went wrong, you know, or here's what I thought was right. But he's got time, so why not do something like that?
So you're saying
he's got plenty. I'm sure he's got plenty of money in his pockets from you know, it's one of those deals. The higher up you go, the bigger the fall, the bigger the payday when you get fired. Mm-hmm. So I won't read it.
So you're saying that instead of doing a fictional book, do a book of, you know, missteps as an athletic director, something like that?
Well, I think more people would be interested in reading it, you know, than this. But, I think that to a certain extent, the people of Nebraska and probably Pittsburgh and wherever else there have been issues, but certainly, you know, I guess he has a certain perch from which to preach. I'm not going to say pulpit, you know, about the modern day athletic director and why he made the moves that he felt as though he needed to make as, you know, incredibly misguided as they were. But on the other hand, you know, I've talked to people in and around college athletics who, you know, worked for him, worked around him, not at the University of Nebraska, and they've got stories to tell too. So, you know, whatever he might put on paper could probably be easily refuted. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's stories when I told on the Average Joe Sports Show or not. You know, it takes me back to that time when, you know, when we were doing the show. Geez, what's that been, like 10 years ago now or more, actually?
12. Yeah, 12 years ago.
You know, we were doing the show. You know, we have people that were sources, people who were confidants, people who were on the air with us, people who covered the Huskers. You know, there are a lot of things. And anybody who's working in the media in Nebraska and in the media pretty much anywhere, you know, you've got certain information that you have that you have to discern whether you use or you don't use. Mm-hmm. And certainly you have to think about your listenership or your readership as to, you know, what they're going to read. We certainly have a fake news issue going on around the country. And while that's all pointed at Donald Trump, the first time I heard it was uttered by Hillary Clinton having a problem with fake news. So what I'm saying is we all take a look at the stories of the day, and you've got to put them in context of the audience that you have. You know, I do that when I announce any event. I've worked over 30 sports. Am I going to call out some Division II football player for, you know, a mistake on a field that a Division I, no, or a pro guy, no. You know, that's just not going to happen. So you have discernment, And when we were doing the Average Joe Sports Show, there were a lot of things that were coming our way that, quite frankly, we didn't relate. And we didn't pass along. Either A, wasn't, you know, didn't know if it was factual. Some I knew was factual, but we chose not to do it. And we protected him. And we protected some of the things that were going on there. But the day that he got to the microphone and said that Nebraska fans don't understand the hiring process the way Pittsburgh fans do, which was a question that I asked, he lost us, you know. And so we've, as much as we sort of protected him through the whole Solich and the hiring process, the Callahan stuff, there were stories that I heard people from the Nebraska coaching staff telling me how that was going on, you know, and I felt it was not my place to necessarily divulge all that information. Yet, you know, in the end, I paid a bit of a price for it. So I'd like to know, you know, what the hell was going on in your head during that whole time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you bring up some bad memories to think about it. That's why I'd rather read, one of his coloring books or something.
But, well, and I mean, you know. But you're not sitting foreign to you. You're out of love and care. You take that phone call from me every Friday at 5. I bring up a lot of bad memories for you. Bill Dolvin's with us, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports on Hail Varsity Radio. Bill, let's switch gears and talk a little Nebraska football here. Some interesting thoughts on the quarterback spot, the number two quarterback spot, and it's really not been settled yet, and we all kind of thought, okay, Lee's the number one, P.O.B.'s the number two, and Jebby, your red shirt. Well, it's not been specifically said that, no, that's no longer an option. The race for number two is still open. It sounds like, I mean, there's been no clear number two as Nebraska's number one, and Tanner Lee has impressed. At least he did so at the Senior Bowl. What do you make of this here with keeping that spot open for number two? I mean, just don't settle. I get that, but I kind of like it. I like Nebraska not forcing a kid to redshirt and groom. Maybe they don't think he needs to be groomed as much. Maybe they think he's ready. What's your takeaway? I mean, you've, from afar, I know, kind of looked at and followed the quarterback race here at Nebraska.
Is Glissman still in it, or is he not the mix?
No, Garth is with the NBA in New York City.
Oh, okay. Well,
but Garth was the number two for a while.
Yeah. I think you have to have the competition, you know, throughout. I don't think you necessarily need to put names 1, 2, and 3 on a depth chart unless Tanner Lee is your guy.
He is,
and he's been the guy since spring, so that's great. But if Patrick O'Brien is not getting the job done and Jebbia is, well, you know, then that's your number two guy. What I hope, and all I have ever, you know, hoped, is that Nebraska football can get back to somebody's got to be ready when the phone rings. You have players who have some seasoning and some experience. And back in the day, 100 years ago, players played and got opportunities and got snaps, especially in mop-up situations. And fortunately, back in the day, there were a lot of those types of deals where you would have the twos, the threes, the fours get in there. You know, the famous one was the Arizona State game, 1994 or 95, when we're ahead like 49-0 at halftime, and the starters are back in the beginning of at the end of the second quarter because the threes, fours, and fives were all tired. You know, we were running up so much. But I just don't like college football these days where the quarterback is like the NFL starter, that he takes the snap all the way to the very end of the game and you're up by 21 points. You know, it used to be that Tom would get snaps for everybody. You know, all the assistants got snaps in for everybody so they could, you know, say they played, but be ready when called upon. And, you know, Matt Turman, if you go back to that Kansas State game, you know, Matt had been on the field at least for a couple of snaps, you know, in mop-up duty. But I just don't like it anymore in college football where the starter's out there as long as, you know, Tom Brady is in a Patriots 49-17 win, and they cover. I want to see, you know, guys get opportunities in the second quarter when you're up by a couple of touchdowns, and, yeah, maybe you hand the ball off 5 plays, but that's okay. At least you've been out there. And then when the score gets out of hand in the third and the fourth quarter, that number two, number three, and even number four has that opportunity. you know, that's where I think it's most valuable to, you know, to get guys on the field. I really don't care who the number two or the number three is right now. I just want to see guys get on the field and get the opportunity to play in case they have to. And as we've seen, you know, the Tommy Armstrong gets beat up pretty good, you know, the past 2 years, and you've got to have two or three ready. And, you know, God bless Riker Fife and those guys, but can you ever say that they had any significant snaps at all other than complete duress when Armstrong got hurt? No.
Not until they had to, they were forcefully brought in because guys' hamstrings blown up. Bill, last thought here. I have 2 minutes, maybe three. Your reaction to the NFL's decision on Ezekiel Elliott?
I'm really surprised that they would come down the way they did. You know, clearly every decision they make now in terms of punishing players for domestic violence is all predicated back to the whole Ray Rice situation. And you know, but I'm not one that says, well, this is what happened to Ray Rice, so that's what should happen to me. I tell my kids, you make a mistake and you get punished. You do it again, you're going to get punished worse. Mm-hmm. And I tell my younger daughter, if you get punished for doing the same thing, you should have learned from your older sister because it's going to get worse. You got, you know, you can't be, well, that's the way it is for everybody. I don't believe that. I believe that you make the mistake, that's one thing. And you do something, do it again, that just shows that you're not learning and then the punishment needs to be a little harsher. So the NFL, you know, they can't look back and say, well, Ray Rice this or any other player this. I think they've got to take a look at it, at the individual situation. And I don't have all the facts. I don't know if Roger Goodell has all the facts. But at some point, the NFL has to start making some strong-arm moves and say, this is what it's going to be and let the decision, you know, be made after the appeals process plays, you know, plays its course. I'm glad that if six games and a suspension and the money is going to be punitive, good. If it needs to be more, good. But it's going to play out for a long time. There's going to be the appeal, and who knows when he will actually sit. You know, it might be in the middle of the season. Would it be better off for the Cowboys to do it now? I find it interesting that Tony George and the boys out in Vegas have halted all the, you know, the speculation on what the Cowboys are going to do because they don't know what's going to happen to Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. You know, the dominoes that fall, but I think it's great that they have sent a stern message, and whoever does it again, I hope it's even worse, and I hope it's even worse after that. And, you know, that they don't play this appeals process out for weeks, 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 and months and say, well, let's try and run out the clock, and eventually everything will kind of dissipate and we'll forget about it. I don't think that should be the case either. But I'm glad at least they laid down a marker that was more stern than what it was when Rice did what he did and got caught.
It's Bill Dolman, NBC Sports, with us, Hail Varsity Radio, the pride of Fairbury, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Bill, 20 seconds. Folks can watch you and your broadcast tonight. What time?
We've already been on, but in the morning, you might as well either get up early or stay up after you get back from Chesterfields and watch track. I guess it's on 4 a.m. tomorrow morning on NBC Sports Network, the decathlon, and it's the start of the 4x1 and 4x4 relays, the last couple of days of the World Track and Field Championships, which have been fascinating, drama-filled, thrilling, and I'm not going to give anything away if you don't know already, but there's some great stuff to watch on tonight, the stuff that happened in London. I know it'll be on replay with women's steeplechase and the 200. It's been a phenomenal championship, probably the most memorable ever.
Bill Dolman, NBC Sports. Billy D will catch up next week. Thanks so much for making time, bud.
I look forward to it, and I'll buy my crayon so that I can read Steve Peterson's book.
Do so. There he is. Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman. We get caught up with Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity up next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at hailvarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to the pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman. Did not hold back on Steve Peterson, the AD or the author. Husker wrestling coach Mark Manning last hour. And we welcome in with HailVarsity.com and magazine, and also an author with John Cook, Brandon Vogel with us, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, for whatever reason, man, it feels like it's been 1,000 years since I've talked to you. How are you?
I'm doing well. It does feel a little long. I think we might have gone a day or two early last week.
Yeah.
Based on schedule. So it's been a while. I've missed you.
It's been 100 years. Usually I pester you once or twice during the week. It's been a haze, but it's a good haze. You know, it's Friday's here, yeah. And the weekend edition tomorrow. We'll bother you tomorrow morning. But there's a lot of news and notes, man. We started the show off kind of hitting on the Board of Regents minutes, and, you know, that's usually not super exciting for a Friday. But this was some pretty good news between the Adidas news and approval, and, of course, now the Nebraska's giving the Heisman to Friday Night Football, which I like. So how did you celebrate is how I want to know, because I high-fived Colton and said, all right, no more. You know, this Illinois thing's one and done. Good. See you. Good night. I'm happy with it. And then Nebraska's kind of like, you know, digging their heels in. Not only will we not do any more Friday nights on the road, we will no longer do Friday nights. That's our expectation. Fist pound at Chancellor Green. I thought it was good stuff. Good for Nebraska standing up for the fact that they are still Nebraska.
Right. You know, I don't typically stream the Board of Regents meetings, but you can do that.
But when you do.
and I was doing that today, expecting the rubber stamp on the Adidas deal. No surprise there. And then launched straight into, by the way, I don't think we're playing any Friday night games. So you had a little bit of breaking news there. So I celebrated by making sure we were able to get something up on the site relatively quickly between our staff. Derek Peterson did a great job of getting that up there pretty quickly. So, you know, it's interesting it makes sense. One, mm-hmm. when you just think about the logistics of trying to do that in Lincoln on a Friday, it never made sense. But the fact that Nebraska might be off the dance card, I guess, for the remainder of the 6-year term kind of makes me think that maybe the Big Ten's getting enough pushback on this that once the 6-year term goes up, that might be the end of it.
Well, I think there's enough pushback by the haves, and I know that's a fluid situation. You can go from being a have to a have not quickly in the Big Ten from a position of power. And I'm thinking of Michigan State, yep. 3-9, but is it a blip or is it consistent? That's what you're waiting on. I think you've maybe got four teams that are really into this Friday night thing. Everybody else is like, nah, I'm not good. So we're not doing it. So I think the 6-year thing could become a 2-year thing real quickly, unless it's in blood. I mean, ink with the folks at Fox and ESPN. But I think if it's not working, you're not going to keep trying to push it, especially with the reaction you have from so many football coaches, Vogues.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't work if you don't have the league's upper class in on it. You know, and if they're willing to play road games, and that's one thing, but Fox and ESPN have interest in this as a piece of programming, as additional inventory on a night where they have the chance to own that, but it becomes a lot harder to do if all you've got to put on is, you know, no disrespect, but Illinois Rutgers.
Oh, keep the respect going. I mean, keep the disrespect going. I'm not watching that.
I'll watch it because I'll watch about anything. But, you know, the general viewer is probably not, it's particularly people with families. If you got high school football going on,
yep.
Like they're not pulling away from everything else they've got going on, especially if they've got games they want to watch on Saturday.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. A great week on HailVarsity.com. We'll give you a chance here at a 6-month subscription shortly between recruiting and insight and practice coverage. Vogues, what do you make of the quarterback race behind Tanner Lee with Jebbia, with O'Brien? I think it's a message not only to the two competing for that number two, but it's a message to future quarterbacks that if you come in and put in the time and you are wise beyond your years from an understanding and execution standpoint, you don't have to redshirt and groom for a season. That's music to kids' ears. The reality is there are far fewer Tristan Jebbias out there that did come in as committed to this thing called college football. I think he's the exception, and he's showing well as he's really making smart plays with the football.
Absolutely. You know, it surprised me a little in that it just seems so cut and dry that, you know, you look at Jebbia and everything we know about him in terms of his leadership capabilities, he's kind of a film and playbook nerd, for lack of a better term. Like, he loves that stuff. He's willing to put in the work. So it's not surprising from that perspective, but it just, the way Nebraska has these things spaced out, and you look at his frame, he could obviously add some weight and needs to mature a little bit. It seems like there's no other option but Jebbia, your redshirt, Lee's your starter, O'Brien's your backup. So to see it, I did kind of take it as, okay, who are they actually talking to here? And
I think they're talking to POB and whoever wants to come in for 19.
Well, and that's a key distinction that I hadn't thought of, because now, granted, I've only had a couple of conversations with Patrick O'Brien over the time that he's been, well, before he got to Nebraska and has been here. But he strikes me as the kind of guy where if you're trying to motivate him through the media, it may not work the best. I think there's a better way to do that, and to let him know that, hey, maybe what the redshirt freshman is doing, or the true freshman is doing, is a little more of what you should be doing. But in terms of talking to future recruits, I think that makes a ton of sense, and it's an idea I hadn't considered yet.
Well, and the other side of this, too, maybe it's a way to – And you know how much I'm reading into these freaking comments. I mean, it's fine tooth here, but Langstroth was consistent with both. I mean, they've had good days and they've had some inconsistency, and he was asked specifically about Jebbia and he kept it not all sunshine and lollipop. There was, you know, he's up and down. But I think this is a way to really highlight the plan of attack that you need to come in. And if you want to play as a freshman, it ain't all about ability. I mean, you need to have the talent, but it's about the intellect, quite frankly, to run this offense and you know, immerse yourself in it. That is the thing. And you've had guys that I think have latched on to Jebbia that put in the extra time. I mean, that's the key thing, and the greatness to come out of this is you're going to be better because you're going to outwork everybody and you're just going to be more prepared. I mean, it's kind of the old school way of doing it.
It absolutely is. And it's not just, you know, from some of the things that I know I've heard, and I'm sure you've heard with Tristan, it's not just about, I'm going to put in the work to get it a level that, you know, people don't think I should be at right now, but he's bringing people with him.
Yes.
He's almost not giving them the choice in terms of other true freshmen. You know, maybe some other players who are still relatively new to the program, he's in their ear saying, let's go throw, let's get in the playbook, or whatever it may be, which is a trait you obviously want in a quarterback. And I think it's really important. Well, it's really important for all positions, but particularly a quarterback, to sort of leave behind everything you did in high school and realize that you start from scratch again. Which seems like a simple idea. It seems like you'd kind of learn that the first time you got drilled by a junior who's on his way to the NFL in fall camp. But it seems like it's actually hard. But Tristan Jebbia seems to have come in with that mindset right away.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, I need a drink of the week, and then I need an update on HailVarsity.com. What is going to be posted tonight and in this weekend? It's just been a lot of fun to see all the Husker news this week from practice.
Yeah, so you know, we'll have another practice tomorrow, of course, and then we'll kind of recap our thoughts on Sunday from week two of fall camp, which was a piece I really enjoyed from the guys last week. We're also putting the August issue of the magazine to bed, sending it to the printer on Sunday. So that'll be on the way coming next week. I'll be busy with that most of the weekend. In terms of drinks of the week, I'm trying to think of anything I've had recently that's stuck out. Let's see. I did have I forget the full name, but it was from a brewery called Hutton and Smith. It was their pale ale just out for the fall. Which was pretty excellent. If you like IPAs, and I know people are sort of either love them or hate them with some of those, I've always found pale ales to be a pretty good middle ground, and this one was excellent. Really citrusy, stayed pretty light, but had enough bite to it that I really enjoyed it.
I like that. That is good stuff. And a good IPA is what you need. It's been unseasonably, well, not hot as hell here in August. So it's yeah, why not grab one and sit on the old deck or patio? You said Hutton Smith?
Hutton and Smith, yeah.
Hutton and Smith, like yeah. The law firm.
Right, right. Just think of that, and you'll find it. You know, and before long here, because you know, whether it was hot or not, the pumpkin beers are coming, the harvest ales. So you know, get ready for that stuff.
I will take your word on the pumpkin. Brandon Vogel is with us. At Brandon Del Vogel. Vogues, 30 seconds. Tell folks about your book with Coach Cook.
Yeah, it's called Dream Like a Champion. You can find it in bookstores and online now, anywhere you get it, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, et cetera. It's sort of Coach Cook's philosophy boiled down in book form. It's something he'd been thinking about for a long time, and I'm happy people are finally getting the chance to read it.
Please get a copy, Coach Cook and Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, we'll talk tomorrow morning, bud. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
There he is, Brandon Vogel. HailVarsity.com and magazine. Let's get you hooked up with the .com portion. 6-month online subscription for you right now. The ultimate online fan experience, message board community, inside info, recruiting info, tremendous staff, all the Husker news you want for all the sports and getting cranked up for football. Caller 4, caller 5 right now. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865, a 6-month online subscription for you, thehailvarsity.com. Recruiting, Greg's been killing that, to Jacob Padilla, Derek Peterson, Husker coverage, of course, Brandon Vogel, Mike Babcock, amazing. Caller 4, caller 5 now, 466-3776, 466-3776.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN, or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Okay, winding down a Friday. Weekend is almost here. Weekend edition tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. with Hale Varsity Radio. Brandon Vogel just a minute ago. Bill Dolman this hour. Husker wrestling coach Mark Manning in a send-off party for two of his tremendous wrestlers at Vega tonight at 6. So go see Coach Manning, Jordan Burroughs, and company there. I want to remind you, if you plan to go out and drink tonight, be sure to have that safe plan home. If not, make that plan anyway, because if your plans change, and here's one thing that can change is you know, what mindset are you in, and are you drinking and driving? If you get caught drinking and driving, you'll face a DWI. It'll cost you $12,000 in fees and fines and jail time. And that interlock device, it'll be installed. So while you're making plans tonight, make sure you have a sober ride home. And before you go out, remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation Highway Safety Office. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. NFL this weekend, plenty of NFL, preseason football going on. I wanted to discuss a little bit here about the hype that was piled on one Tanner Lee in conjunction with the NFL. And praise is nice. Accolades are, well, they're awesome. It's always nice when someone says something wonderful about you. And maybe you had it growing up. Maybe someone told your folks, you know, some people think your kid's a goofball, but he held the door open for me. What a nice young man you're raising. Now, times that by a billion here with the praise that is there from Phil Savage. Phil Savage, Senior Bowl Executive Director, does radio on Sirius XM, NFL, and college. He is the color analyst for Alabama. So Phil knows his football. Phil has an opinion and he shared that via Twitter. Quarterback Tanner Lee can spin it. Spun it yesterday. He'll be a top NFL prospect in 18 or 19. Size, arm talent, intangibles. As we speak, it's been retweeted 213 times and liked 525 times. There's been 16 conversations engaged with it. Listen, if you want to know the truth about Tanner Lee and Tulane and now Nebraska, the truth is this. The kid's worked his butt off, and his dream is to be in the NFL. I'm doing the math on that. Why go to Tulane? Because at the time, Tulane's head coach had put five guys into the NFL, the most out of any school at that point. He had to go back to 12 or 13. Forgive my math on this, but can stay close to home, and I can go to Tulane and get noticed and be a pro quarterback. Why? Because people have taken people from Tulane to be pro quarterbacks. Didn't work out. Who else is highly prevalent when it comes to the NFL and grooming kids for quarterback play in the league? Ah, Mike Riley, because he has the most active players in the NFL at quarterback. That's what you got. And it's just a extreme bonus that you get a jump from Tulane to Nebraska. And you get to show off what you can do in the Big Ten against NFL secondaries or future NFL secondaries against Ohio State or Wisconsin. No, it's there. And it is, if things go as planned. I mean, if you write the script out, if you're a Nebraska fan, what do you want? Minimum 9-3. Does it get better? Is it 11-2 and you go to the Cotton Bowl? I don't know, maybe. But you got a guy that his skill set should translate to Sundays, will translate to Sundays in some form or fashion. Now, what happens on Sundays isn't always a result as what happened on Saturdays. That's what you got to keep in mind. An extra hype and pressure, while you can have a reaction that says, oh, it's just what he needs, more praise. Well, How are you going to handle the stage? How are you going to handle the bright lights? It's a question everyone's wondering. And the ones that aren't are probably those guys catching footballs from him, the guy throwing the football, and his coaches. So there'll be plenty of time to lay it out there for Nebraska and Tanner Lee. But could be a top prospect, yeah. This thing rocks out. They go 11-2. He throws for $4,000. They make an appearance in a Big Ten championship game on the fit and strength of this offense and say the defense comes along for the ride. You're playing in the major game. Maybe you go 12-2 because your quarterback just lights everybody up. He's that good. He's that big a difference maker. If the ceiling is hit, he is gone. He's off to the NFL. We're getting way the hell ahead of ourselves on August 11th. But you have a scout that just visited. Mr. Savage says there's your top prospect. And that's not that crazy of a proclamation. Didn't you? Who's the guy from Cal that just got Sammy Watkins to throw to? Number one pick overall. Help me out. The new LA quarterback from Cal.
Isn't it Goff?
Yeah, Jared Goff. Thank you. The guy that, you know, Tanner Lee out threw in the Manning Academy. I will have all of my NFL quarterbacks done and down by the time camp ends. I promise. Okay. Colton has alerted me that we still have Ribfest tickets to give away. Okay. So do we want to do that now? Colton's like, Yeah, we do. Caller 5, Ribfest tickets right now. Caller 5, Ribfest. Enjoy that. I'm not going to tell you what to get, but you get in. If you're a rib guy or gal, good. If you're a pulled pork person, God love you. If you're brisket, if you're down for the brisket, You got choices, man, at Ribfest. Remember when that started? It's awesome. Caller 5-466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Caller 5 gets you a pair of Ribfest tickets, courtesy of your friends here at ESPN and Hail Varsity. Just be nice to Colton. Caller 5 gets him. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. We'll wind down a Saturday shortly. Get you into the weekend. As it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Caller 5, Ribfest tickets for you. Just give your info to Colton when he picks you as Caller 5. A quick timeout. Back to say goodbye on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
1 final time on a Friday. It's Hail Varsity. .com magazine, radio, Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt. Thank you, Nick Saban. I wish I would have had this earlier. So, Saban's kind of gotten beaten up the last couple of days by former quarterbacks, blasting his communication style. Yes, son, you're going in. Prepare like you're starting. And they went with the dual threat quarterback who destroyed USC, which I get. Well, Saban's comments, I'm going to paraphrase, but in light of recent comments regarding the difficulty, this is also a middle finger to Josh Rosen, courtesy of Saban, regarding the difficulty of a student-athlete lifestyle, Saban says it kind of all comes down to investing in yourself. Thank you. Don't point the finger. I didn't succeed because of X, Y, and Z. And, you know, going back to your approach, are you here to play ball? Are you here to have a good time? Are you here for both? Do you like the idea of being a player with the gear, with the girls? Or are you really into what it takes to perform on the field Saturdays? That is the non-high-profile times. The weights, the conditioning, maybe the fights that go on. Yeah, you're here to go to school, get a great education. But you could be here to get to the league, which I get too. That's what makes it so appealing. Absolutely. All right, Colton, what are you doing this weekend? I'm not asking you to hang out. That'd be weird. But I'm just asking what the plans are for you.
Well, I'm here with you tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Bright and early.
We're both high-fiving for that one.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it, actually, because, Cranach's pretty cool.
Get some spiked coffee or something.
It's spiked now.
Got to work at the Journal Star tomorrow night.
Yeah?
Maybe hit the Dogs game on Sunday.
Okay.
Maybe just kind of kick back, relax, have...
School gets cranked up. When do you guys start?
Next Monday.
Okay, so the 21st.
21st, so right. Yeah. So
you'll be using a flashlight to get to campus.
No.
No?
Not, okay. Not that day, no. No, not doing a whole lot. Just kind of, trying to... That last week before school starts, just
go veg.
Yeah.
You gotta enjoy it a little bit. All right. We'll enjoy the Dogs on Sunday. We'll see you tomorrow morning. That'll be sweet. So yeah, that's good for him. Got a birthday party tonight. So party's extreme. But a dear friend is celebrating a birthday. So that'll be fun. Not too late. I'm old. All right. If you missed any part of the show, you are welcome to check out HailVarsity.com. Get the podcast. Maybe you have a playlist. Try our podcast. as an alternative or an addition. HailVarsity.com is where you can get it. You can go to the ESPN Lincoln app and get it. Also, iTunes for you. Tomorrow morning, bright and early. Husker football galore, 7 a.m., the weekend edition of Hail Varsity. See ya.